Express each year.
Let's get it started in here.
Sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without want of love bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is Friday, May.
It's when you guys are supposed to cheer.
2019.
Thanks. I was questioning what year it actually was.
I like turtles.
My mom the other day was like, "What year is it?" And I was like, "Are you okay?"
Well, look. You know, when you get to a certain age.
Yeah. She's like, is it 2019? I was like, yeah.
Things like what year it is, how old you are, whether or not you're wearing pants. Like, those things just don't really seem to matter as much.
It's mid-May. If you don't know what year it is, you better be traveling in from the future.
I'm glad I'm not old. I've never had a problem wondering if I'm wearing pants.
It's not wondering whether you're not. It's just the importance of it seems to diminish.
I kind of wonder that sometimes because, like, I don't know. Do tights count as pants?
No.
I don't know. Okay, then. Okay.
Absolutely not.
Then I'm never wearing
pants. Do you ever
pants.
Leave the house in just tights?
I mean, do yoga pants count as tights? I don't know. Okay, then no.
No, they've got pants right in the name.
That's fair.
All right. I don't want to wipe out. I'm not on that, at least.
We could.
We're going to wipe
out. We could. I know. There's a lot of things we're going to wipe out.
Today's going to be kind of a wipeout.
We will try to keep things on track. Katie Pavlich from Fox News will be joining us right around 7 o'clock this morning. She went traveling with the State Department.
She was like on Air Force One and stuff.
Yeah. It was like Air Force half. Because when there was the State Department plane, it's painted like Air Force One, but it wasn't like the 747. You know, okay. I know this because Logan saw the tail fin of the plane and immediately identified it as blah bitty blah blah blah, and I was like, "All right, dude, I'm glad you got a career out ahead of you.
Take your word for it."
Yeah, but she went traveling like overseas, so we'll talk to her about that. She's got a couple articles she put out in regard to the contempt of court for William Barr. We got the roundtable joining us this morning.
Rob Dorr and Brian McDaniel will be filling out the roundtable. Those two plus Sam will be your contestants in the Friday news quiz happening at 8:35.
Right, and right before the news quiz, we will get into if the lovemaking lakes during the age of the dinosaurs had still existed, they would still walk the planet.
That's right. I mean, you can't continue as a species,
right,
if you don't reproduce,
right,
and if the conditions for reproduction are no longer available.
I didn't know. Like,
you got to set the mood.
You found the story. I didn't know what the details were. I read it this morning, and it's so ridiculous. We'll give a bit of a brief. We have a brief because we're going to talk about the 8 o'clock hour. It comes down to buoyancy. There's somebody, the theory is, because dinosaurs were so big, the only way that they could make love would be to float in a lake. So if the lakes ran dry, then they died off because they couldn't do it. It's so ridiculous.
It's a theory.
It is a theory.
Brilliant.
So I know that we've got a couple of different things we're going to have to cover, including Sam's chicks, which we'll get to. Mail order chicks. I may or may not tell the story of buying my new shoes. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll just save that for you guys or a post show. I just found this, and Drew, you can confirm. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you were over there just chuckling and
this is insane.
Yeah, right before the show started. I had no idea what was going on.
So I hopped online.
You were being tickled under the table.
I saw this headline. Party City is going to close 45 stores.
Oh no.
Right.
Okay.
Amid?
Where will we party? Wherever will we go to party?
In now? The town. Party town.
Party town.
We're going to go to party town.
Party burg.
They're going to close for one specific reason. It's because...
Did they lose their legs too?
Global helium shortage. Okay.
I've heard of this.
Okay.
Yes. I've heard that there is
right.
and has been a global helium shortage.
So I started looking into it, and I was like, okay, so the first article I found was from USA Today, not today. And apparently the big reason for the shortage is that 75% of all helium comes from just three places. So the Ras Laffan Industrial Center in Qatar, ExxonMobil in Wyoming, and the National Helium Reserve in Texas. Okay.
All right. I'm with you.
So then that got me thinking, well, why don't they up production or, you know, if there's such a demand? Because this goes into, I mean, you're talking not just, you know, your helium balloons, but like spacesuits. I mean, there's all kinds of things that helium is used for, right?
It is dawning on me right at this very moment that I know literally nothing about helium other than it floats and it makes you talk funny.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with Drew.
Is it a naturally occurring gas?
This is...
Like, you know, mined or... do you just make it? I don't... What?
This is when my mind got blown.
I know nothing about helium.
I'm going to blow your mind. You ready? This is insane.
Okay.
Because that it was that point right there. Because I was like, right, just make more.
Just make more.
You can't. Right. You can't.
Is there a
there
limited
is,
supply? Have we reached peak helium?
Yes.
You're telling me.
There is no chemical way of manufacturing helium.
You're telling me that there is no chemical way to manufacture helium. And we've just been putting it in balloons this whole time?
Yes.
We couldn't find something better to do with it?
We couldn't find more, like, some other gas that'll make something float?
Right? The supplies we have...
All of the collective intelligence and technology and innovation that we have
right.
as a species on this entire planet, and you've got this one gas, and the only thing we can think to do with it is, just put it in a balloon.
And pretty much everyone, at least once, has done the whole, like, breathe in helium thing so your voice gets high.
Sure.
And you're telling me that we've just been wasting helium this whole time?
Look at this. Helium is used in space flight to pressurize the fuel tanks of liquid-fueled rockets, in satellite instruments, in aerospace for supersonic wind tunnels, and even combined with oxygen to create nitrogen-free atmospheres for deep-sea divers.
All those things sound far more important than floating balloons.
The supplies we have originated in the very slow radioactive alpha decay that occurs in rocks. It costs around 10,000 times more to extract helium from air than it does from rocks and natural gas reserves. Helium is the second lightest element in the universe, and there's no way. Yeah, we're reaching peak helium. And 45 Party City stores are closing.
Yeah.
Because of that.
That's crazy. Well, my daughter worked at Party City for a long time, and like by her account, take it for what it's worth, like 90% of what they do is sell balloons.
Right.
Like they fill balloons with heat. Like that's the main thing that they do. People go, you know, they buy other party supplies while you're there, but the big thing is balloons. So that aspect of it, you know, if helium is becoming less available, if the prices are getting too high, that aspect of it makes perfect sense to me.
I want someone, I know we got a break, but I want someone to calculate. How much helium have we wasted as humanity just to make our voices sound stupid? Seriously. I mean, we're going to run out of helium.
A lot of times that's dual purpose helium, though. Like, it's already been in the balloon.
True.
But right? Both of those
Nobody's
purposes.
Putting their mouth on a tank.
I mean, I'm sure somebody has. But both of those purposes are completely pointless.
Right. Right, we've just that blew my mind that in all of our collective lifetimes, like soon, we may live in a world without helium.
Way to go, humans!
That's what's going to bring us down. That's what's going to bring all those books and movies, Day After Tomorrow, and volcanoes and asteroids. They all had it wrong.
Everything, you know what? Even anything that humans do to impact the environment, straws, anything.
Peak helium is going to be our downfall. That's what's going to.
Nobody saw it coming.
That's going to crash humanity.
Nobody saw it coming.
We're not going to be partying anymore.
Last time I checked, though, Sam did not need helium to scour the internet. Has it been
3.5 FM?
I think the last time my mind was this blown, at least on the show, was the cheese shortage, the stockpiling of cheese.
Right.
But before that, it was like when we when I got to the end of seeing Fight Club for the first time. And I had no idea. This helium, peak helium shortage story that we talked about here on Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk, we've been doing more digging. It's insane. It is absolutely incredible. There is no substitute.
It's fascinating.
There is no substitute for helium. And we are running out. You got Party City closing 45 stores because they're running out. And you've got this being used in scientific experiments. They use it for welding. They do believe that they can use perhaps some other gases when helium runs out for welding, but many scientific experiments require liquid helium because it allows scientists to reach the lowest temperatures of any cryogen. Research institutions are often
amazing gas.
Sounds really important.
It's a very useful gas.
And why are we putting it in balloons?
That's the question that we keep coming back to. Why have we been wasting so much
in balloons? Right.
All this time.
Well, and
apparently that is one of the minor uses. Like, for as high profile as that is, and it is the most well-known usage, the balloons are actually a minor part of all helium use, at least according to Wikipedia.
Wow.
The main use, according to this article here, is the cooling of superconducting magnets in medical MRI scanners and NMR spectrometers.
You can't produce
more. Don't ask me what an NMR spectrometer is.
You cannot produce more helium once it's all extracted from Earth. All methods to produce helium are so ridiculously costly that they're not worth discussing. They list here hydrogen fusion, bombarding other atoms, right, with energetic protons in a particular accelerator, mining it on the moon is a ridiculous proposition in terms of the volumes that are needed to be transported back to Earth. In that sense, the problem of running out of helium is different from the problem of running out of petroleum. For the latter, people can and do synthesize alternatives such as ethanol fuel, not to mention a myriad of non-carbon emitting options that are out there.
Also, the Earth continues to create petroleum.
Right. Right, right. Then there's that. Right, then there's that.
There's the more we keep finding more.
Well, here this is where we landed before we get to Sam's top five. This is where we landed before the break. Is that, I mean, look, you see all these ridiculous ways in which environmentalists want to do stuff, and light bulbs, and that idiot with the rip out your lawns and all this garbage. And here you have a legitimate, right, finite resource. Right, we're gonna run out. And why hasn't there been any sort of move on a larger scale? Like, why hasn't Congress convened right now to say stop and start shoring up all the tanks of helium? And
where's AOC's Instagram video about this?
Right. And the truth is, there's no agenda that you can attach to it.
Yeah.
There's no, and you landed on it after my convoluted way off the air.
There's no political value on either side.
Right. There's no political value to go and attach to it. So you're not going to have a bunch of MRI scientists out there with signs. They're too busy doing
our superconducting magnets.
Smart people stuff. That just blew my mind, man. It's crazy.
Brian McDaniel is going to join us for the roundtable a little bit later, but he has called in. Good morning, Brian.
How you doing, guys?
Fantastic. Well, we're a little triggered.
Yeah,
if I'm going to be honest.
Well, you know what, and that's just because of your male fragility, because AOC has got this helium thing all figured out, and with most things, this is a problem of the wasteful patriarchy. She has said that we need to be transitioning to helium, because helium works twice as hard, and you only have to pay 70% as much for it.
I get it. Sexism.
So funny. In the middle of...
I don't know whether to give you crickets or applause for that one, Brian.
I'm not going to lie. As the woman on the show, I give him applause.
Right. Okay. All right, that's cool.
We'll see you in a little bit, Brian.
That's free. That's free comedy right there.
We're not letting him in. We're not letting him in when he gets here, right?
You get what you pay for.
Right? In the middle,
I thought that was great.
In the middle of
it was clever.
Of when Brian McDaniel was saying whatever it is what he was saying, I saw like three other stories popped up. They're like on Twitter, like it's trending on Twitter now. The Party City to close the 45 stores amid the global helium shortage. Like it took Party City collapsing to grab the world's attention over the helium shortage. Somebody, Christopher, on a friend of the show on Twitter said, make parties more interesting, use hydrogen. You know what, though? I would have been completely supportive if there had been a mandate to say, look, we've got to stop with the Mylar balloons. I understand there's a dollar value attached to it in commerce and all that, but if we really are,
it is an incredibly wasteful use.
And they're so stupid.
It's an incredibly wasteful
use. I got a Mylar balloon. Great.
Of a gas that apparently, you know, we have a limited supply of and we're running out and has some very important uses.
Right.
Like, I don't want to lose MRIs.
Sure, right.
Like, for example. Like that, I support the continuation of MRIs.
I'm a big fan of the MRIs.
I've never had one.
I have.
But I understand they are important.
Friend of the show, Mary, writes this. Helium will be the new internet shaming. Those photos of you with your balloons at your first birthday will be unearthed and used against you.
Everybody running for office now is like, hide all the pictures with balloons.
This is amazing. Think about all the parties. This is how it'll turn political, right? When somebody
even think about campaign rallies with balloons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, look at all the rallies going on that Trump is holding and all those balloons floating in the air.
They're gonna start making balloons, you know, this balloon helium free.
Right.
Just to put out there just like the virtue signal, like I've not used any helium in this campaign rally.
Yeah, but you won't be looking up at it, it'll be just lying on the floor.
There's gotta be some other gas that would make balloons float. There has to be.
Well, I haven't found the article did say that helium was the second lightest gas. I don't know what the first one, I would assume we would have been using it by now.
The common gases that are lighter than air are hydrogen, helium, neon, nitrogen, ammonia, methane, and carbon monoxide. Okay. Every other one of those is dangerous.
I don't think we should be filling party balloons with any of those.
Let's pop a party balloon, just everyone dies.
Let's not have a bunch of carbon monoxide-filled party balloons. Let's not do that.
I don't get it. What's wrong with that?
Only outside.
Only outdoor parties.
Let's avoid that. Nitrogen, I know, can be methane. Is not great.
No,
hydrogen,
no.
I believe, is it's flammable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you can
just flaming fire
lights
balloons.
A cigarette, and all of a sudden, the entire party is up in flames.
Can we harness the hot air that we spew out every day?
Yeah,
would that make a balloon float?
You can harvest the hot air of angry liberals.
Oh my gosh! All right,
let's get into Sam.
0.5 FM.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew, along with Sam, we are going to get into the top five in just a moment.
But this helium story has kind of wiped us out a little bit. Got an email, and we're going to take a call here from Rob Dorn in just a moment. Got an email from a listener, Kristen. She says, hello, Justice Drew and Sam. Yes, there is a helium shortage. Yes, helium is used for a lot of very important things in the world of science. When it comes to helium supplies, those things are a first priority on helium. However, balloons are not a waste of time or pointless, as Sam has said.
I kind of agree.
She's lighting you up, Sam.
They're not necessary.
Whoa. As you can see from my email address, we are owners of a small retail balloon and party supply business. Party City's inability to get helium has given our business a boost because we can still get it. There are things being done around the world to bring the supply back up, but it will take some time. Stop dissing balloons. Kristen and Tim Trainer, owners of the Corner Balloon Shop.
I understand and respect your business and that you support your family that way, and I hope that your business continues to thrive, but I think that arguably on the scale of importance of things that helium is used for, balloons are probably low on the list. I am not saying anything to disparage your business.
Look at her. She's an anti-balloon genius.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm glad that like the free market allows you to sell balloons and that you're selling balloons and everything.
Yeah,
keep
selling balloons.
Yeah, keep selling balloons. I hope that your business thrives. All that I'm saying is that when it comes to like important scientific discoveries and space journeys,
those things do take a priority.
Those things take priority with helium over balloons.
Yeah, whatever commentary we have on the show is not going to have an impact on Party City or what you do. That being said, though, look, party Mylar balloons are not necessary. They're not necessary for birthday parties. They're not necessary to be brought when somebody is in the hospital. They are a nice thing, but they are not a necessity. And if we are reaching a point of peak helium and it's necessary for the other things that we talked about, then in my opinion, they probably should have cut it off for non-essential uses a long time ago.
A long time ago.
I'm going to be the contrarian on the show, and I'm going to say, let's keep filling balloons. Fill all the balloons. This is America. We deserve floating balloons.
You're a terrorist.
This is America. We deserve to party.
Rob Dorr, good morning.
Yeah, since McDaniel couldn't wait for the roundtable, why should I?
Exactly.
No, it's actually, when I was a kid, I was in a kind of this aerospace education thing, and we did weather balloons. And it was a lot of fun to, you know, put devices up and measure things. But now it's a thing, and my daughter did it as a science project, high-altitude ballooning, where you actually send, like, a camera up, and you get video, and you can do a radio so that you can actually track where it's going. It's a really cool thing. But the price of helium, like, when I was a kid doing these balloons, it was, like, $40 to fill up a balloon. It would have been $700 fill up one of these balloons for a science project. So it's, like, it was so awful because I didn't even realize it until we got way down the road that, I can't afford to fill up this balloon.
Well,
anyway.
Science is expensive.
Yeah, seriously. We'll see you soon, Rob Dorr. Thank you. And you know, and maybe we can talk about this later on, but just really quick, there's a couple of places around the country where these scientific firms have put in these retail and commercial ventures to the edge of space using these capsules and balloons that take them up there. And there's been a lot of controversy attached to them because it's like anything else. When a entity comes into an area where they feel like they can have a tourism boom, there's this draw of taxpayer dollars that goes along with it to help incentivize them. Mm-hmm. I wonder about those particular locations where millions of dollars have been dumped into this space tourism based off of taking these capsules, you know, up into the, up into suborbit heights. Wow, crazy. This is insane. All right, we got to get to
it. I love this story. This segment of Justice and Drew is powered by our friends over at Early Bird Electric. Sam's top five. It's going to be a lightning top five for a Friday.
Number one.
James Comey says that an indictment for President Donald Trump is possible after his presidency.
It's possible.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, he did this via a photograph of him standing all by himself with the sunset on a beach.
Right.
Yes.
Staring at a shell. Yeah.
What do you hear?
I hear future indictments are possible.
I hear justice.
As I reflect upon the sunset of my time.
I'm on my own listening tour.
The sunset of Donald Trump's presidency covering
tour of conch shells.
Indictments. I'm James Comey.
How am I supposed to get through this story?
He's with the most pinkies up of pinkies
he's
up.
Such a tool.
He really is.
Such a tool.
He's just the biggest socket wrench ever.
From the Washington Times, former FBI Director James B. Comey said right from a beach yesterday that he thinks President Trump likely has committed crimes that could be cause for indictment once he leaves office and, were he not president, likely would have maybe already been indicted.
We will talk about this more when Katie Pavlich from Fox News joins us later on. I will say this much. Shrewd move, because you do this, and if this catches on, what have you now done? You've now established another reason to get him out of office. If you were able to convince enough people that, oh, he's going to get indicted after he's president, right, then maybe that'd get enough to get people to go and try to, you know, vote for Buttigieg.
Number two.
Vice President Mike Pence swung on by Minnesota to talk about the revamped Mexico-Canada trade deal. From the Star Tribune, Vice President Mike Pence toured a St. Paul steel mill yesterday, rallying a crowd of 200 steelworkers and imploring Congress to pass the revised trade pact with Mexico and Canada. Pence said that the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement would be the largest trade deal in American history. Its passage, coupled with other Trump administration economic and trade policies, would keep the U.S. economy growing.
Yeah, this is a good deal. Congress should support this. They should say, you know, this is one of those instances where partisanship should be set aside. Their orange man bad fervor should be set to the side, and they should just move forward with this because it is a good deal.
Number three.
A St. Paul teacher is on leave after using a racial slur to describe black students.
Yeah, don't do that.
Why is this still happening?
Why?
From the Pioneer Press, a St. Paul teacher is on paid leave after video was posted online that showed her using a racial slur at school. A parent of a Highland Park student posted the 23-second video clip on Wednesday to various social media channels. It shows the teacher speaking in a hallway with at least five people while a sixth records the conversation. She appears to say, "I just walk around the room, and it's a little bit unintelligible, just to pick on them. They're black, and they're the only blanking N-word doing any work."
Oh, yikes.
Several parents identified the teacher as Wendy Rolowski, who teaches Spanish at Highland Park Middle School. Rolowski has worked for St. Paul Public Schools since 2013. It's unclear who else was a part of the conversation. The video quality is pretty poor, and it doesn't show any faces. She seems to immediately regret what she said. As one of five walked away, the teacher said, "I know, I'm sorry."
Yeah, just filter, man. Just turn it on. It's not that, you know, it's not that hard.
Yeah, I mean, one staff member did step up to defend this teacher, and it seemed to indicate that the teacher was repeating what somebody, it was just relaying what somebody else had said to her. We'll probably never know if that's actually true or not, and it doesn't matter, because in this world, once something gets put on social media and it starts getting spread around like that, judge, jury, and executioner all sets in, and chances are her career is pretty much done as a teacher.
Well, and it's tough because it's only a 23-second video clip. You have no idea what happened before or after that clip and what the actual context was, and that matters, but... and it is a person's career that you're messing with. But if she actually was saying these things with malicious intent, then she should be on leave.
She should be kicked out of that school.
Yeah.
Number four.
Duluth saw some record-breaking snowfall this week.
Glad I wasn't there.
sucks to be in Duluth right now.
I saw a photo. Somebody was actually using their snowblower. I couldn't believe it.
they got so much snow.
I know. I wouldn't even have bothered. It was going to be gone fairly soon anyway. Go ahead.
they got like
teeth their own. They're not using helium.
It's not like one of those snowfalls where it'll be gone by morning. They got like 10 inches of snow.
Yeah.
From the Pioneer Press, winter struck back with record May snowfalls over the past 2 days, coating the Northland in snow and causing weather alerts lasting until 11 a.m. yesterday. All told, 10.6 inches of snow accumulated at Duluth International Airport, which is a record for May that also included a single day record of 8.3 on Wednesday alone. It was the snowiest May day on record, breaking the previous record of just 5.5 inches in 1902.
Well, I got some good news. I mean, right now is probably the coldest that it's going to be for a long time. I'm looking at the temperatures.
I hope so.
And it's like tomorrow, the high is like 66. And then by next Friday, we're up into the 70s. So
excellent.
Yeah. I think right now outside is probably the coldest temperatures that we're going to be seeing for quite a long time, thankfully.
Yeah. This little thing, it feels like winter's last gasp.
Yeah. It's like helium.
It's a little more winter.
Yeah, it's like one lone balloon rising in the air before it pops. That was it. That was the last of the helium.
Number five.
I can't let it go. I'm so fascinated by the helium shortage.
I know. I am too.
Colorado students walked out of a school shooting vigil after some politicians took the mic and tried to make it all political. From Fox News, students in Colorado stormed out of a vigil Wednesday night for the victims of this week's school shooting at STEM school Highlands Ranch after two Democratic politicians took the stage and called for gun control. The two Democrats who spoke at the vigil were Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, who is running for president, and Representative Jason Crow, whose congressional district includes STEM.
Who? Who?
Who knows? Well, I have never heard that name.
I don't even know what party they belong to. I'm assuming it's they're a Democrat. Democrat. Okay.
It's a Democrat,
all right.
Yeah. It's a Democrat, but I've never heard that name before. Good luck, dude. Kyle Clark, an anchor with 9 News in Denver, said STEM school students walked out of a vigil tonight after Representative Jason Crow and Senator Bennett spoke. Students said their grief was being politicized. They later returned, took the mic, and some said they didn't want to be used to promote gun control.
And I respect that. I respect
absolutely,
because it's sickening. It happens every single time. Look, I mean, no, we all want to see school shootings and these things completely eliminated, wiped off the face of the earth, never happen again. But the pattern has become so predictable, and it happens every single time. You get an incident like this, and the gun control advocates swoop in and immediately use the survivors and the victims and their families to push their political agenda without any regard whatsoever about the actual victims, survivors, and their families. Without any regard. They don't care about them at all. They just want to use them because it's very politically expedient.
And I do, and I'll use this as an example of, again, the good and bad of social media on the 24-hour news cycle. I'm like I said yesterday, I'm beginning to get the feeling for the first time that we will start catching up with it and start filtering these things better. And this to me is one of those examples, yeah, because I think people are becoming more aware of how politicized this stuff can get, and that gets talked about and that gets exposed via the 24-hour news cycle and social networking. And so this to me is a positive aspect of that, where kids are going, they're finally realizing, they're seeing it for what it is, and they're seeing past it, and they're going, knock it off already, we know what it is that you're doing.
And it's just so inappropriate. And this was a vigil, it was 2,000 people that were packed in a high school gym that night. This is Wednesday night. They were remembering 18-year-old Kendrick Castillo, who was shot and killed trying to tackle one of the shooters at STEM school Highlands Ranch on Tuesday. Authorities have credited Castillo and 2 classmates with stopping the attack. 8 others were injured in the shooting. And according to the Denver Post, some of the students who walked out of the vigil on Wednesday night were chanting mental health. The Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, which helped organize the vigil, later released a statement apologizing to the offended students. And it's just gross. They were gathering to remember Kendrick Castillo, and these politicians tried to make it really political in a really gross way.
And again, the exposure that a story like this can get is incredibly helpful, because it'll get shared on social media, it'll get shared in the mainstream media, and then the next time something like this happens, because it will, hopefully those that would want to go and take advantage of it will go, maybe we ought to peace out on this one and not jump in. Remember what happened with that story in Colorado.
I hope so.
Excellent job, Sam.
Thank you.
Stellar top five, and thank you to our friends over at Early Bird Electric.
We do have Brian McDaniel and Rob Dorr joining us for the roundtable. They'll be competing against producer Sam in the news quiz a little bit later on this morning, right around 8:35.
Is it really a competition, though?
Mm-hmm.
Crush it.
Get on Twitter and predict who you think is going to win. Use that hashtag TCNT. Will it be Rob? Will it be Brian? Will it be Sam? You can also email me at AndrewLee@iHeartMedia.com.
Fox News' is Katie Pavlich. Usually she joins us on Thursday. We're going to be talking with her next. She was traveling with the State Department, I believe it was the first time, and she went overseas. We'll talk about her reasons for traveling with the State Department. Pompeo has had a very interesting week and had to do a lot of cancellations, and I know that Katie's got some information about that. We'll talk about, and we will get to Conch Shell Comey and his idea that perhaps Trump can be indicted, you know, for stuff